This is The Full Spectrum. The show provides a wide range of news and competing opinions. The commentaries, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by segment hosts and guests do not necessarily represent those of WJSU-FM, Jackson State University, or its administrators. The content of this program is for informational and/or entertainment value only and not meant as an endorsement or recommendation in lieu of professional guidance on relevant topics.
It's the full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We got news,
entertainment,
interviews, and so much more. It's the full spectrum.
On today's show, as Families as Allies prepares for its fourth annual community partnership celebration, we'll talk with the group's executive director. And this week's edition of Chalk Talk, our look at the week in JSU sports. Welcome to The Full Spectrum for Thursday, November 2nd. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. As I said, Families as Allies is preparing for its fourth annual community partnership celebration. The group says its mission is to make sure that families and partners are partners in all aspects of their children's care. Joining us now to tell us all about the big celebration and what the group's been up to is Executive Director Dr. Joy Hogg. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Haven't seen you in a while. It's good to see you.
It's wonderful to be back.
Okay, so where do we start, Joy? Do you want to start with, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what the group does?
Okay. We're the only statewide organization run by and for families of children with mental health challenges. So we support each other, and that might be as simple as helping a family on the phone find a resource or helping them write letters or deal with an issue at their child's school or support group meetings, anything like that. So we support each other in those ways and more. And then we work together to make things better for our children. So that means families, because families know their children better than anyone, coming together and looking at how can we make things more responsive for our children, either at the local level or at the state level, like working with policymakers to make sure that there's good policies in place and things like that.
Good things. And it's got to be incredibly tumultuous time because of all of the funding issues, especially surrounding mental health care and health care in general. So how have you, over the past few months, how have you found that requests for your services have changed? And are people worried about what's going to be happening over the next few months?
I think there's a significant amount of concern, and we have had a lot of concerns because we had a significant cut in our funding, our state funds, this past April. But we've also have been really excited about some new opportunities that have opened up. That was a very, very difficult thing to go through, but I knew there were a lot of good folks out there and a lot of good opportunities. So we've actually been able to diversify our funding and expand the types of things that we're able to do over the past few months.
And what's the source of the new income? Is it more government funding, either federal or other state pots, or more private donations?
We are very excited that we received a grant from the Kellogg Foundation in September, and that allows us to provide more and more support to families of very young children as young, well, birth to eight, who might be starting to show some challenges with our social or emotional well-being, and that's focused in Jackson. And we have been partnering with the city of Jackson on another initiative in that area. So that allows us to just...
Is that the JPS collaboration that they all agreed to, the governor and the mayor? Or you can't tell, Joy.
No, we would love to help with that in whatever way we could, because we're in JPS all the time. And there's lots of ways that particular collaboration could be used to support children with behavioral health challenges. That hasn't come up yet, but however that happens, we hope to be a support to it in
some
way.
You know, that's interesting that you said that, because a lot of those children who have behavioral issues, not necessarily some kind of hardcore mental problem, they get warehoused a lot in schools and tracked into, you know, because the teachers don't want to deal with them. So that would be fantastic if there was some effort made to reach out to a lot of the students who could be reached.
Absolutely. And we always want to support that. And with the initial project I was talking about, that allows us to do that with those younger children, both before they get to school and when they reach school, and to support their families. And then we want to continue to do that work, you know, with all children, which we can now. And then we also have had some opportunities, and this is more with federal funding, to be able to look at how to support children with special health care needs and find out more what they and their families need behavioral health-wise to feel supported and to be able to negotiate all the things that go with that.
I'm curious, because I'm hearing the Kellogg Foundation a lot, and I wonder, do they have a particular interest in Jackson, or do they see it as an opportunity to really spend money wisely and get a good return on their grant investment?
Well, you would have to ask them to get the expert answer on that. But from what I've observed, and again, we've just started working with them, they do have, you know, different areas that they've prioritized. And Mississippi is a state they've prioritized. And then within Mississippi, Jackson is one of the areas. Now, I couldn't tell you why they did that, but just working on things, it makes sense, because there's a lot of need here. There's a lot of things that can be accomplished. And also, that means different groups that are working on similar things can work together. And then perhaps, and I don't know if this is one of their goals, but it would be logical if it were, but it's just a good thing to do anyway, that as we come together and support each other and leverage those relationships, that good work and what we learn and how we learn to do it could be used in other parts of the state.
Right. And there's no better place to engage in the battle against poverty than one of the poorest states in the nation. So it is, I mean, if there is a silver lining, it's that people who are really trying to come up with creative ways to take on poverty and make a difference, especially in areas like health and education, it's a great place to you know, throw your hat in the ring.
Right. And I have a lot of admiration for the Kellogg Foundation in that, just in even writing the proposal itself, they ask you to look within your organization and look at how you're dealing with some of those systemic issues that lead to poverty, and disparities, and just your own, you know, and how you're willing to address that in your work, but also the examination that it takes as an organization to really look honestly at those things and where we need to get to.
How did Families as Allies hone in on the issue of mental disabilities and especially children, and helping families who have those types of members?
Well, we're actually the state chapter of the National Federation of Families for Children's Mental Health, and that's what the National Federation of Families for Children's Mental Health is that was a group of families in the late 1980s who came together because they knew that their children weren't getting what they needed, and they knew that they, as parents...
When was that, you said?
The late 1980s.
Wow, and yeah. It's still going.
It is. It's going very strong. It's a wonderful national organization. And so we were very, very fortunate in Mississippi that one of the person who founded Families as Allies, Tessie Schweitzer, also helped found the National Federation of Families. So we've had this really strong relationship with the Federation since our inception. And then Tessie, you know, had that national experience and that context to be able to get that work going in Mississippi. And It's been going ever since. And people who know Tessie, I always tell them I can follow in her footsteps, but I could never fill her shoes. She's an amazing woman.
Wow. You know, it's interesting, too, that it must be a great feeling for you to be involved in with providing services in an area that desperately needs it right now.
And, you know, people say things that like that a lot. And I think that is true. But I think what I mostly feel every day in my work is when, to me, it really touches my heart that any family is willing to share with anyone else the most precious thing in their life. And that's their child and their child's story and their family story. And I'm just amazed at what families sometimes face, but also what families are able to do with the right kind of support in the face of those challenges. So I think that's the biggest thing I feel is just gratitude for what families are able to do and a lot of respect for what they're able to accomplish.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Dr. Joy Hogg, the Executive Director of Families as Allies.
For more than 20 years, Hope Credit Union has provided responsible financial products and services to families and businesses across the Mid-South. You can learn more about Hope's work to create financial opportunity for people and communities in the nation's most persistently poor regions at hopecu.org. Together, we can improve the lives of people in our community. Together, there is hope.
Welcome back to The Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're talking with the Executive Director of Families as Allies, Dr. Joy Hogg, who is always welcome.
Thank you.
Before we get to the celebration, tell me what you guys have been focusing on in terms of making a dent in this area, and how, especially here in the city of Jackson, how are the budget cuts going to impact what's going on in the city?
Well, budget cuts are always challenging, and we certainly support mental health being funded and mental health services being funded at the level they should be. At the same time, there's also the issue of looking at the money that we have or whatever is appropriated, and is it being used in the way that's most likely to be helpful and in the most efficient way? And Mississippi is being sued for over-relying on institutional care. So one thing that I hope all of us are looking at are there ways that we can use the money we have and leverage it to
more group homes,
right,
or neighborhoods.
Yeah, things in the community. So that's something we're always looking at. And with children, just supporting them from the very beginning so that they can live in their homes with their families. And one thing that we're doing in response to that, we're always going to provide individual parent-to-parent support for families who call us. And that will always be a part of our core mission. But we've been looking more, first of all, at how we can, from the very beginning, support families more in advocating with them instead of advocating for them. Because they're going to be their child advocate for a long time, and we're just going to be there for a short time. So looking at those kinds of things, and so that it's not just about that one particular situation, it's sharing with them some, you know, information and strategies and things about the law so that they can continue to do that. And we're also spending a lot more time out in the state and in the city getting information from families about what's working, what's not working, and what do we really need to do so that we can pull that as a state, you know, pull that information together. And that could give us some ideas about, you know, is more funding needed, or are there ways we can use the funds we already have more efficiently and more responsibly? So
right.
We're very excited about that.
It's incredibly important now to monitoring metrics, the word, like the past few years, like showing that the money that you're spending is actually having the effect that right. you wanted to.
Right. And we really want to hold ourselves accountable for that, but also look at what's happening in the state and, you know, are the systems and the services that we have doing that? And if they're not, how can we all work together to make that different? And of course, some of the people with the best knowledge are families because they know what will help their children.
Well, one of your favorite times of year must be coming up. I see you over at the legislature all the time. So you must be ready to not go to war, but just really try to work out more creative ways of spending the limited funds we have.
Right. And just helping people. Yeah. And understand what the needs are and different ways to meet the needs.
All right. Well, tell us about the 4th Annual Community Partnership Celebration.
Okay, that's what
And the very special couple that's going to be honored.
Yeah, we actually have 4 different groups that are being honored, including them. And that's what I actually thought you were getting ready to ask me about when you were talking about my favorite time of the year, because it is one of our favorite nights of the year and one of my personal favorites, because we come together, and it's a fundraiser too, but we come together and celebrate the very good things that have happened the year before. And so it's a great time to just be with each other. And it's always a night just filled with joy. And as part of that, we honor 4 groups or individuals who exemplify our core values and have helped us in moving our mission forward in the past year. And Mayor Lumumba and his wife are the first 2 that are being honored. And they're receiving our award for caring for every child and family, and that's actually named after one of our former board members who passed away, Helen Johnson. So it's just an honor to her as well. But they're receiving that for agreeing to be the spokespeople for an infant and early childhood mental health campaign to increase awareness about how much young children can be helped if we intervene early. And then we have 3 other recipients. We give an award for excellence, and that's named after Rusty Turner, who is an attorney at Balch and Bingham, who worked diligently with our organization and died unexpectedly a couple years ago. And Jane Walker from another national organization, the Family Run Executive Directors Leadership Association, is coming in from Washington to receive that award because they've given us a lot of support in the kind of training we want to do with families. The Wraparound Institute is receiving our partnership award. They're at Southern, and they really want to learn more and are just so open to how we can work together and make sure families are getting what they want when they're accessing mental health services.
Wow.
And then our final awards for accountability to the Clarion Ledger for the work they've done on making sure mental health information is made was
yeah,
made
they had
public.
A couple of really great series in the past few months. Well, can the public attend the event?
Oh, we want everybody to come. And it is a fundraiser. So tickets are on sale online. And also you can buy them at the door. It's at Bravo. And it starts at 5.
It's going to be at Bravo.
Yes.
Okay.
And the program begins at 5:30. It's a fairly short program because we want to give people lots of time to visit and just enjoy each other. And also, as we all come together and really spend time together, we always find that there's new relationships that are formed and new possibilities and new ideas. And with all those great people in the room, I can't wait to see what happens.
All that and great food, you can't
get. Yes, I know. You can't, yeah.
Give people the website.
Okay, it's www.faams for Families as Allies in Mississippi.org.
Joy, I mentioned the upcoming legislative session. What are you already strategizing? What's going to be your main? We have about a minute left. Tell me what you're looking to do and achieve specifically, because you're really diving down now into the numbers, and you've been doing this a while. So what is it that is highest on your agenda?
I think the main thing, and this is typically how we approach any session or anything we do, is looking at what's going on and just making sure that whatever is happening or whatever people are looking at, that families are at the table to help make decisions, as well as people with mental illness, on any kind of thing that comes up about mental health.
Let me ask you, is that different? Is it something old that's new again, but bringing more common folk in, families who are actually being affected, into the discussion?
you know, that should have been happening for a long time, and it may be an old idea that's new again, but it's not happening as consistently as it should be. But I have to, you know, we're starting to see changes. Attorney General Hood has a task force, and he does have consumers. He has our group on there, so that's good.
And he was talking a long time about trying to avoid that lawsuit.
He's getting sued. So we haven't avoided right. it, but maybe we can address it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, nothing like somebody coming after your pocketbook to grab
yeah.
your attention.
Yeah, and I don't think we've quite reached that point yet, but I think we'll be feeling it soon.
And one would hope that even if there's some kind of settlement, that the government knows where this money's going, they wouldn't want to. It's about making you spend that money correctly.
Right.
All right.
And that saves money in the long run.
There you go. All right. Well, Dr. Joy Hogg, it is always a pleasure for you to be here, and good luck with the event.
Oh, thank you. And I hope everyone comes. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you know, it's my pleasure. All right. When we come back, this week's edition of Chalk Talk. Stick around.
Hope Policy Institute provides independent, nonpartisan analysis of public and private policies that affect the financial security of Mid-South families and communities. Hope's work supports efforts to create an environment that ensures that all people, no matter where they live, have the opportunity to prosper. Together, we can improve the lives of people in our community. Together, there is hope. HopePolicy.org.
Welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. That music means it's time for this week's edition of Chalk Talk, our look at the week in JSU sports. I spoke earlier today with JSU's Assistant Athletic Director in charge of sports media, Wesley Peterson. Of course, we talk football during homecoming week. You know, Wesley, you have been walking tall all year. You always hold your head high. But you had a little swagger when you walked into the studio today. The football team finally won a game, man.
Yeah, we on a one-game winning streak, so.
That beats a no-game winning
That's
streak.
That's the truth.
So what do you think made the difference last week?
I think a combination of things. I think that it was just time for us to get a win. We had a offensive coordinator change. And so a couple of weeks ago, and so some of that changed some of the philosophy on what we're doing on offense. Our fans probably could tell it, the ones who went to the game down in Itabena against Mississippi Valley, that we ran the ball a lot more. I think we had 250 some odd rushing yards.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Jordan Johnson, probably our best running back, he finished with 160 yards. The backup had about 80 yards rushing. So with that philosophy change, the defense got to rest a little bit because we held on to the ball and possessed the ball a lot longer than we normally do. And so those combination of things, I think, helped win the game for us this past weekend.
Way to go. And Wesley Peterson, I know it's a little of your energy that you bring to the stadium each week that helped.
I think it's everybody. I think when we got there at the stadium down in Itabita, you could kind of feel a different energy from the team when they came in. And I think that kind of flowed over to the fans who were in the stands supporting the team. So, you know, we want our fans to come to every game, whether it's home or away, because they do give the players energy. It's a different feeling for them when they can look up in the stands and they see Jacksonians cheering them on.
Well, probably no more energy-packed weekend than homecoming weekend. So you think it's going to be two in a row after this weekend?
Well, I hope so.
And who are we playing?
We're playing Alabama State for homecoming on Saturday. And they themselves are on a two-game winning streak. So they're going to come in here with, you know, a kind of swagger to them. They recently had a coaching change, and that changed the energy dynamic of that football team. So hopefully we can get one again this weekend. But I do believe, regardless of the score, we'll see continued growth from the Tigers.
Oh, that's great to hear. Now, I don't know what a cat clash is, but Wesley, you tell me that the bowling team is heading to the cat clash.
Yes, the Lady Tigers bowling team is back in play. Their season has started, and their first tournament was last week, and they went to New Orleans to play in the Tulane Invitational, and they played against some of the best teams in the country. I think there were 16 teams, and 12 of those were nationally ranked. And this first tournament out, we finished 11th. And this week we go to the Cat Clash, which is hosted by Sam Houston State in Houston, Texas. And we've gone to that tournament, I think, the last 4 years or so, and it has performed well. But the competition is going to get even stiffer this week. Instead of 10 or 12 teams in the top 25, we'll face 20 of the best teams in the country.
How many bowlers are on the team?
We have 6 bowlers on a team off the top of my head. And Coach Mike Boykins, he's really assembled a competitive group of bowlers. And I think we'll do well this year. And I do believe that we'll win another SWAC championship. He has a good mix of veteran returning players as well as one dynamite newcomer who's a freshman.
When you all have matches here in town, where do you play?
Well, that's a good segue. After this weekend's Cat Clash on next weekend, the 9th and 10th of November, the Lady Tigers will hold their tournament down at Fannin Lanes, and that's where we'll play. That's where we hold our bowling match.
You know, I actually may come to that one. Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I think I would.
They do a really good job of putting on the tournament, and the teams that we invite are all really good and competitive, and we're competitive with them. So please do. Please come.
Okay. Out. When I was growing up, I was in a bowling league. It was popular then. Is it still popular?
I think so. I think, you know, ESPN shows the bowling tournaments.
Right, they do.
And they don't do anything that's not going to be viewed or waste money. So I do think it's growing, particularly on just a, you know, non-competition level. Good for families to go out and do things of that nature.
That is a great family outing.
It really is. I go bowling with my kids.
More expensive to go bowling or to the movies?
The movies, I think.
Because see the kids want the popcorn.
Yeah.
Another intrastate battle coming up tonight. The volleyball team takes on Alcorn.
That's correct. We'll play that match at the TBLS Gymnasium on the Jackson State campus. And the Lady Tigers are looking for 3 straight wins in a row. So,
You know, a lot of alumnus in town for homecoming. I wonder if you guys are going to have a really good turnout for that.
Well, I'll tell you this. Probably volleyball is probably the only sport that consistently sells out. And has a packed house for
really?
Just about every match. Yeah.
Coach, I wouldn't have known that. That's interesting.
Yeah. The student base, particularly some of the other sports, football, baseball, softball, the other sports really get behind volleyball and vice versa. So the student body has been really great the last 4 or 5 years coming out supporting volleyball. And the teams have been really good and competitive, and you know, in our conference, the volleyball has gotten much better over the last 3 or 4 years. It's a good product. Speaking of the volleyball, and as we've talked about before, Jackson State will be the host site for the upcoming SWAC tournament, which is November 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Lee E. Williams AAC. The volleyball program has grown by leaps and bounds, and you know, winning championships don't hurt.
Okay, the soccer team is in the SWAC tournament.
Yes, that's correct. Under second-year head coach, this is the first time, Stephen Peck is his name, this is the first time under him that the soccer team has gone to the SWAC tournament. Right now they are in Houston, Texas, really Prairie View, Texas, participating in the tournament at the campus of Prairie View A&M. We go into the tournament as a 7 seed, and hopefully we can stay in the winner's bracket and bring home a championship.
That's great. And I didn't mean to imply with my Rocky theme song that they'll be boxing at the soccer tournament. It just hit me like that.
Let's hope not. It's a physical sport, so let's hope there's no boxing.
Right. It can't get physical. And the fans, the worldwide soccer, it can get crazy at those tournaments.
Well, on a global level, soccer is the most popular sport in the world. It's just that here in America that we're kind of slow catching on.
Wesley Peterson, always a pleasure to have you over for Chalk Talk. You're a crowd favorite.
Well, thank you, Dwayne.
All right. That's our show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on JSU TV, Comcast Channel 14. We'll be back Monday with more of The Full Spectrum. Up next, Latin Jazz with host Dale Morris. Have a great evening and a great weekend.